What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Whatever News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related, and we don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it. I must go, must leave this house. I must go, the time is now. I must go, it's time to get out. Okay, people, before we jump into the episode, if you would hit that subscribe button and hit that bell to get notified, we drop new episodes of Forever News every Saturday, 12 p.m. EST, and throughout the week, we re-upload some of those segments for your viewing pleasure. Hit them buttons. Let's jump into the news. What are we waiting for, right? Okay, people, and first story on the docket. A lot of people are a little bit going cray-cray over this one because we've been seeing throughout the weeks that it seems like Yoshihiro Togashi is slowly but surely kind of edging towards like finishing this run. We already know, in case you don't, in case you're oblivious to it, in case you're in denial and think that Yoshihiro Togashi is from here on forward never gonna be absent again, and he's gonna keep on writing Hunter x Hunter for the next however many years until it's over. First of all, I would argue that you're a little bit delusional based on the fact that we've seen time and time again throughout Hunter x Hunter's run, especially in more recent years, he comes back, drops about 2 to 3 volumes worth of content, and dips. That's always been the case. And his author comments and everything surrounding him, little by little, has been demonstrating that, yeah, he's probably not trying to be here that much longer. He's referencing his health, all of that good stuff. In fact, in one of the latest author comments, there was a couple of different translations for it, where he basically said that he only wants to draw manuscripts. Well, in the latest author comments, there was something along the lines of that similar comment. However, he said he only wants to draw the final manuscripts. So that was already something to note of. Okay, Togashi is clearly trying to get up out of here. He ain't trying to be here too long. But then on top of that, we got a couple of other pieces that tell us that looks like he's at the very least throwing in the towel on certain aspects, and it might be already coming to a close, this latest serialization of Hunter x Hunter, because it looks like Togashi's giving up. Because for starters, we have this that says Yoshihiro Togashi will have his assistants in charge of his author comments starting this week's weekly Shonen Jump issue number 49. So pretty much, we no longer will be getting a comment from Togashi himself. Instead, it will be from his assistants. And I ain't gonna lie, already that kind of seems very odd and strange. Like, a weekly Shonen Jump or weekly Shonen Magazine author comment is a very simple thing. You could say anything like, hey, my hand been hurting recently. Hey, I watched this cool show. Hey, whatever comes to your mind, you could pretty much damn near say, as long as it's not like too raunchy or anything like that. So the fact that he's having his assistants in charge of his author comments, very, very strange. Maybe it could be that he wants to save that content for his Twitter, because he's been posting a lot on Twitter. Could be something more to it, but that was already odd, that basically he's giving up, so to speak, on doing the author comments. But then he had a comment in the latest volume of Hunter x Hunter, volume 37, where he said a couple of different things. For starters, he said, forever, it never ends. In the end, work called. Scribble, scribble, scribble. Like, I'll keep it real. To me, it just sounds like Yoshihiro Togashi hates doing this, and it's a check, and it's how he pays his bills, and probably lives somewhat of a very nice lifestyle alongside with his wife, the author of Sailor Moon. But every ounce of what Togashi tells me is that he just wants to be done with this and he hates doing it. Because then on top of that, his comment was, I gave up, so production ended there. And it has a lot of people worried that he's referring to that he gave up production pretty much recently, and he finished up on writing the manuscript, so he's pretty much done for now. Which, again, I'm not expecting much more. I'm expecting about 2 to 3 volumes worth of content and he'll be gone. Everything from him giving up on doing the author comments to now him saying in the latest volume that he gave up, so production ended there, pretty much says that this dude, like, he's not as dedicated to this, you know, whole manga creating Hunter x Hunter as the readers. Some of the readers are a lot more dedicated to this series than even Yoshihiro Togashi himself. It's clear as day. He's pretty much constantly giving up, and it's not necessarily that, hey, he's, you know, a slacker, that he's lazy, so to speak. A lot of it does have to do with health issues, and again, he is an elderly man, but nevertheless, do not be surprised if after 20-something to 30-something chapters of this return that the manga goes on hiatus yet again. again, because it looks like with him saying, I gave up, so production ended there, and now he's not even doing the author comments every week. He's going to have his assistants do it. I mean, it could be, I throw the argument, hey, maybe he just wants to give his assistants a shot at having some type of presence in a Shonen Jump magazine. So that could be the thing. Could be that he just doesn't know what to say anymore other than to complain about his health and how much he don't want to draw none of this shit no more. So that's a possibility as well. But it's clear as day that Togashi just don't want to do this shit no more. And he has to because he got to pay the bills. And he has to because probably his contract with Shueisha and Shonen Jump says he has to. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's just there absolutely miserable as he's drawing and writing, because you get to a point where, again, you know, you're 60 something years old, you don't want to do this no more. But my heart goes out to Togashi. I sympathize wholeheartedly with his troubles, because his man has been dealing with this issue of not wanting to draw and do shit for a long time. One of the reasons why Yu Yu Hakusho ended, I mean, he could have even been talking about Yu Yu Hakusho there, where he said, I gave up, so production ended there. Maybe he's referring to Yu Yu Hakusho ending the way that it did, because Togashi gave up there and he was like, well, that's where it ends, shall I say. But yeah, Yoshihiro Togashi pretty much won't be commenting no more in Weekly Shonen Jump. It'll be his assistants. And in the latest volume, he said, I gave up, so production ended there forever. It never ends. In the end, work called, scribble, scribble, scribble. Yo, Togashi sounds so fucking miserable. I feel bad for him. Okay, next story. This one right here, definitely very important. And I can assure you that despite the fact that a big news conglomerate, I guess you would argue, in the anime space is going through this transitional stage and everything that's happening, Feneva News will always be what we are. And that's one of the best things about this show. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything like that. I'm just keeping it honest. The fact that this is independent media, like, I find the stories that I find wherever I can get my hands on them, whether it be some of these sites, whether it be, you know, leaks on Twitter, whatever, but you're always gonna get the unbiased facts. I may add my opinion after the fact and let you guys know, hey, here's the facts and here's how I feel about the facts, but you're always gonna get the facts first and foremost. There's never gonna be any manipulation or anything like that, because I don't have a horse in the race. I'm not an owner of Shueisha. I'm not paid by any big corporations or anything like that. So you never got to worry about Feneva News ever being biased or sliding stories under the rug, so to speak, to hide some shit. But a lot of people are going a little loquito, so to speak, over the latest news regarding Anime News Network, one of the bigger platforms that provide anime and manga related news, that pretty much they were recently bought out by none other than Kadokawa, which I find to be extremely fascinating, because in case you ain't here, one of the heads of Kadokawa recently had to step down because of the whole Olympic bribery scandal and whatnot. Like, very big stuff happening, and then now they're buying Anime News Network. Interesting stuff. Let's take a little peek at what this article says and what's going to be the future of Anime News Network, and we'll talk some more. But I ain't gonna lie, I did not see this one coming for 2022. Like, a big conglomerate like Kadokawa buying out the news. Like, where could that go wrong? That's like, imagine Shonen Jump buying the Feneva News channel and Feneva World and all of my stuff, and all of a sudden, what do you think my opinions are gonna be? Like, what opinions am I gonna have to have? Maybe things will be a little bit different. Let's see what it says. Kadokawa announces acquisition of Anime News Network's media business. Kadokawa Corporation announced today that the company has reached an agreement with Anime News Network headquarters with respect to Kadokawa's majority acquisition of Anime News Network's media business. Founded in 1998, Anime News Network engages in the media business focused on distribution of the latest news concerning Japanese anime, manga, light novels, and other entertainment content to its English-speaking market user base in North America and other parts of the world. Anime News Network also operates a content database and community forum for its users to interact on its website, and has established its position as one of the largest platforms specialized in its field in North America. Our decision to proceed with the acquisition is intended to further strengthen Kadokawa's global marketing efforts relating to the digital and physical products handled by Bookwalker Company, which operates an English online e-book store, Yen Press, which engages in the comprehensive English publication of manga and light novels in North America, and J Novel Club LLC, which engages in the English ebook publication of Japanese light novels and the operation of a digital subscription service platform, among others, in the English-speaking market. The transaction is contemplated to be pursued through the acquisition by a newly established company under Kadokawa's U.S. holding company, Kadokawa World Entertainment. So they're expanding, basically. And of all the related business assets from Anime News Network scheduled to be completed by the end of the year. The transaction, its value not disclosed. You should have disclosed it. A lot of us would have liked to know what we're talking about here. I'm just saying, would have no material impact on Kadokawa's consolidated business results. Following the completion of the transaction, we intend to further expand of all of the group's businesses in the English-speaking market by strengthening collaboration and promotion in other areas among each of the group's aforementioned businesses. Christopher McDonald, president of Anime News Network, to be appointed as the publisher of the new company, says, "I'm excited by this opportunity to work with Kadokawa and Kadokawa World Entertainment to dramatically improve Anime News Network during the course of the coming years. Myself and all of Anime News Network staff remain entirely dedicated to the standards of professional, exhaustive, and editorially independent journalism that Anime News Network is already known for." Let's see what those Olympic reports look like. Hey, no. "And we believe that Kadokawa's resources will be a great benefit to Anime News Network's journalism and our readers." Kurt Hassler, chief executive officer of KWE and managing director and publisher of YP, says, "For over 20 years, Anime News Network has distinguished itself by providing a window of news and information about Japanese content and establishing a community where fans can interact and share their enthusiasm. This acquisition represents an opportunity, not only for Kadokawa to better and more effectively highlight its own content, but to enhance Anime News Network's mission to grow the global audience for manga and anime as a whole, expanding the boundaries of what the site can offer users." And I'll be honest with you, that press release didn't tell people much other than they try to basically say that we're still going to be independent, we're still going to be doing our thing, we're just bought out, but let's keep it a buck. Let's just keep it real. First of all, there has to be more focus in on Kadokawa related stories, Kadokawa related reviews that they post on the site, all of that good stuff, because once you have a parent company, you ideally have to cater to the needs of said company. So if Kadokawa wants you to not publish a story, you're not publishing that story. You don't have the editorial control any longer. That's simply the case with anything. Like I said earlier, if somebody bought out, a big company bought out Forever News, automatically then certain reporting styles they would ideally want, because now they hold the reins, so to speak, to either be reported on more, be reported on less, they want more favorable things on this side or whatnot. And we of course don't know what the check was like, but I'd imagine Anime News Network right now is screaming out money, especially if maybe they even got some stock options, although I don't know if they would have given that for Anime News Network. But either way, yeah, this is those times where, again, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, I'm just saying the facts, and the facts of the matter is, I get my news from a bajillion other sources, and it's always straight up, hey, this is the facts, hey, this is my opinion, but here's the facts, here's the reality of what we know thus far, and that's why independent media, independent creators such as myself that bring you the news, especially, we're pretty much the only and the number one anime and manga related podcast out there. I know some people probably bring up like other platforms that don't really talk about anime and manga anymore, but regardless of what, Forever News is going to continue to provide the legitimate straight up facts of everything and anything anime and manga related. And yeah, we'll see with Anime News Network. I'm still going to use them from time to time for sources on big stories and whatnot, but it's a little bit scary to say the least to hear that they've been bought out by Kadokawa, especially considering everything going on over there. Hey! But big congrats to them. I'm not even going to lie. Like, with everything said, major congrats to see something like Anime News Network. You know, again, they started back in 98. For them to take it all the way to the point where Kadokawa is interested in buying them out, shout outs to them. Shout outs to getting that bag and that opportunity. Still, you should check out the independent media, because we're where it's at right now in terms of giving you the straight up facts and the hardcore truth, whether they like it or not. Next up, Boruto fans, Boruto, Naruto, next generation anime fans, if there's any of you out there left, I got some news about the upcoming arc. We spoke recently about that one of the directors from the anime came on and said that the next arc he's going to be handling it, and it seems like, you know, he's done some credible work or whatnot in the past, so we can expect some exciting stuff. However, However, it seems as though the next arc of the Boruto Naruto Next Generation anime sounds a little more enticing at the very least than what we previously got. In case you don't know, last couple of months, it sounded like it could have been something, but it turned into one of the worst arcs I've ever seen of damn near any anime I've ever watched. The Himawari and Kawaki go to the academy school arc thingamajig, and honestly, those episodes just were horrible. Like, they were really freaking bad, and I'm just being honest as somebody that I damn near wanted to force myself to like it just so that I have something to watch every Sunday, and I come to tell you that those episodes were just, they're bad. They're really, really bad episodes. So, hearing that, the next arc is actually going to focus in on Boruto and Sasuke going on a journey together. That sounds more enticing. I have good memories, even despite if you want to, you know, call out the power scaling and some of the nonsense that went on, like the time travel arc, Boruto and Sasuke together, that is a very cool and exciting matchup. Here it just says, from Honda Masaya, again, one of the people down at the Boruto anime, I have written the scripts for 6 of the 8 episodes that will begin with the next Boruto episode 274. First up is The Flightless Hawk, in which Boruto and Sasuke go on a journey to find a hawk. Don't miss it. And while Boruto and Sasuke together sounds exciting, there's even some preview shots of them together for the upcoming arc. Like, that sounds dope. Finding a hawk, like, maybe it could be, like, metaphorically something exciting, because don't forget that Sasuke was the leader of Taka at one given point, you know, the hawk or something. So maybe this could be foreshadowings of, hey, that Boruto is also gonna be like Sasuke, the Taka, and Boruto will go rogue at some given point. So there is some potential there to make some really cool stuff or whatever, but bottom line, again, it's anime original stuff, so how much impact are we gonna have on the grand scale of the entire series? I was hoping that this Honda Masaya guy was going to come forth with, yo, boom, code activation, let's get started. And I don't know how much longer it's gonna be. If this guy said 6 out of the 8 episodes, so pretty much if this arc starts this coming Sunday, we pretty much have the rest of the year, because yeah, 8 episodes, so pretty much the rest of the year is going to be this arc. And probably, ideally, I'm gonna hope for that we will start code activation, which will still be anime original stuff, but pretty much what they did with the Kara activation with Deepa and whatnot, maybe we could do the same thing with code, starting with the winter season of anime, because it looks like, again, we're gonna close out this year with this stuff. And I ain't gonna lie, I'm going to, once again, I'm just being honest with you, and people that don't like Boruto get mad at me, and Boruto fans will get mad at me. I'm gonna try once again to see if I can get myself to like this new arc, just straight up. Like, I didn't like the last arc, I absolutely hated the last arc. Maybe I could get myself to like this arc, and if I don't, I'm gonna let y'all know over on the main channel in particular, and if I do, I'll let you guys know over on the main channel for Neverworld. Go subscribe and check out the content over there. I'll let you guys know what's up, because I want to enjoy some Boruto Naruto anime. We don't have a, you know, Naruto anything anymore. It's all really pretty much relegated to Boruto, and I want to enjoy this. I genuinely do. It would be nice to have something to watch on Sundays, in particular with one of my favorite shinobi verses of all time. The Naruto verse, to be precise. No. So we'll see, but at the very least, we can say for certain that the next 8 weeks, pretty much the rest of this year, is going to be Boruto and Sasuke on a journey, and I'm somewhat looking forward to it. Maybe this hawk situation can lead to something exciting. We gotta wait and see, but that's where we're at with it with Boruto. And since we're on the topic of Boruto, TV Tokyo recently released their quarterly, and I believe this is halfway mark if I'm not mistaken, financial, fiscal, sales, money, all of that good stuff, pretty much their top franchises that are making them the most money and also making them the most gross profit. And it's very interesting because I check this list every year. I always like to see, and for the most part, the names are the same here and there, but it also tells a tale. And this tells a tale in particular why, despite the fact that a lot of people, including myself in the West, be whining and complaining about Boruto, they're not ending it anytime soon. They're just not, because despite the fact that even though the characters don't rank well popularity-wise, and the anime rarely ever sees the top 10 anime of the week list or whatnot, it's doing well enough that TV Tokyo is going to keep it around for the foreseeable future. Because it's not even just doing well enough. It is doing extremely, extremely well. And I'm going to tell you my theory on what's happening here. But we got here the list. Again, it says, and shout outs to Organic Dinosaur for providing this. TV Tokyo's quarter two fiscal half year rankings from April 2022 to September of 2022. The top anime franchises by total sales revenue at number 5. And I'm expecting this to change by the next one considering certain things have returned. At number 5, Bleach. This is before the Thousand Year Blood War even started. 4, Pokemon. 3, Yu-Gi-Oh! 2, Naruto. And 1, Boruto. That means Boruto total sales, not gross, not the money that they actually, but just in general total sales, Boruto did more than all of these franchises. That is, poof, mind-blowing. Hands down, a straight-up testament to why they're going to keep on going. Because then we also have the top anime franchises by gross profit. This is the money that they directly made. And at number 5, still Bleach. So still Bleach. And again, once Thousand Year Blood War, you know, is factored into this whole situation, we're probably going to see it be like top 3, I'm imagining. At number 4, Yu-Gi-Oh! 3, Pokemon. 2, Boruto. 1, Naruto. So they're making more gross off Naruto, but Boruto is right there. And I'm going to say a couple of different things. For starters, definitely you can't deny that some of the success that Boruto has seen financially is due to Naruto. There's no other way to experience new Naruto other than Boruto. If you want new Naruto, you know, you want to see Hokage Naruto, you want to see adult Sasuke, you want to see Sakura, any of that stuff you want a chance of seeing, you have to go to Boruto. You want to buy the new merch or whatever, chances are it's going to be related to Boruto. Sure, they release Naruto stuff, but a lot of it is things that you've seen 10, 15 years ago. Like, nobody, aside from nostalgia-wise, is very invested in, like, oh, dog, I need a Rock Lee, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's already long time ago. Like, don't get me wrong, I rock with, and I'm always going to appreciate Rock Lee versus Gaara and all the insanity that provided. But in terms of getting that, like, you know, feel or whatever, if you want that Naruto feel when you buy stuff, when you watch stuff, you gotta go to Boruto. That's the best thing that you have with updated stuff of the characters. And that's where Boruto is gonna thrive. That's where Boruto is gonna see its money. I wanna even throw the argument and potential that because Naruto is in the name, are they classifying Boruto as Naruto and Boruto as well? There's that possibility. I get it that it looks like they're differentiating the series, Naruto and Boruto, but there's a possibility there. And just in general, there's a lot of kids, I'm assuming, in Japan that are watching Boruto because it's clear as day that the Boruto anime is catering towards children. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if with that Himawari arc, they were like, yo, let's try and tackle, because I look at the top, you know, watch the anime and whatnot, and some of the top watch anime over there are stuff that none of us would ever watch. It's like the Curious George anime and shit like that. Yo, let's try and get the Curious George anime watchers to come watch Boruto. Like, look, it's like a, even though Himawari is like, what, 10 or something? She looks like she's 5. Like, look, it's a 5-year-old and she's eating cupcakes at school. Come watch our show over here. That's a big possibility of what they were trying to go for with why they made that arc, because again, I gotta stress that arc just sucked. But in general, this is why Boruto is going to be around for the foreseeable future and why the manga can explore and entertain all of these radical ideas of turning it into pretty much the Bachelorette or whatnot, because the anime is holding it down. It's the number one minus gross, just straight up off raw sales and whatnot. It's number one, beating out Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh! You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so big, beating out Bleach, beating out Naruto itself. And then gross profits is only beaten by its predecessor, Naruto. So they're going to keep Boruto going for the foreseeable future. And we're going to keep on complaining on deaf ears because they're like, proof is in the pudding. You can complain all you want. Boruto makes a lot of money. We want a lot of money. Fuck your complaints. And it sucks. And I'm saddened to say it, but it is what it is. That bottom line, Boruto is, it's a moneymaker, and even though the series hasn't been going over the last few years in the direction I would personally like, they're gonna keep it around because the proof is in the pudding. And again, I'm expecting in the next one, because Bleach started, that's gonna shoot up, because A Thousand Year Blood War is the talk of the town, everyone's going crazy for it. As long as they release merch and re-release maybe some volumes of the manga, that's going to bring in the bucks. Okay, people, next up, Weekly Shonen Jump with its never-ending revolving doors is about to be bringing in some new blood, because according to this, it says Weekly Shonen Jump will be starting a total of 4 new series from issue 50 onward, which before we even get into the titles of that, more than likely that means that we might be seeing 1 or 2 more cancellations. We know that we already just recently saw Aliens Area ended and Super Smartphone ended, and the Ruri Dragon series seemingly is not coming back to Jump. It'll be going to Jump Plus. So that's 3 titles. So more than likely there's a possibility, if unless I'm missing one title, that we're probably going to see 1 more cancellation or 1 more series ending within the coming weeks, and then that'll make up for how they're going to have 4 series coming to the magazine. But it is interesting nonetheless, because starting at number 50, Ichi no Seike no Taizai by Taizen 5. And in case you don't know who Taizen 5 are, because at first I was like, who cares? Who is this? Why should I care? They're the same people that did Takopi's Original Sin. And if you follow my top 50 manga of the week segment that we do every week here on Forever News, then you would know that Takopi's Original Sin was a very big but short-lived series. And from what I read, I think it was only a few volumes long. It wasn't that long at all. And them putting them straight away, like, okay, you end it off there, boom, come into Shonen Jump. I'm very interested to see what they could do, because if they made a massive hit off of a couple of volumes, they might be able to make some noise over here. But then we also got at issue number 51, Ango Gakuen no Iroha by Nisio Isin and Yuji Iwasaki. So we got a new series at number 51. Then issue number 52, Ichigoki Sojutsu by Seiji Hayashi. And then the first issue of the next year, fiscal year, won't be of January, it'll probably be by December, Jinzo Ningen 100 by Daisuke Enoshima. Which, shout out to Jinzo, I immediately think of Yu-Gi-Oh! And Ningen, I'm guessing they either mean mortal or human. So, Jinzo, mortal, human, 100. But let's take a little more of a glance into what these series are going to be, because we have a little bit of insight here, courtesy of the unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump account. Because we know for sure that Jinzo Ningen 100 was those authors' entry into Jump's 15th Golden Future Cup held last year, announcing its victory in January and claiming the rights to become a serialization 1 year later. And I ain't gonna lie, the art looks pretty freaking cool. That kind of looks like Mama from the Promised Neverland alongside I don't know what the hell. So this looks like it's actually very interesting. I have no idea what it's about, but either way, it's about time for some new blood. I think I'll probably do a first impression on the most exciting ones again over on my main channel for Neverworld. Go subscribe over there. But it looks like it's about time, and again, we might see 1 more cancellation. Again, we got Super Smartphone out of here, Aliens Area out of here, and Ruri Dragon is on hiatus but going over to Jump Plus. So we either might see 1 cancellation, or considering Togashi will be leaving anyway, they're like, when Togashi leaves, that'll make the spot for that 4th manga, whatever. But yeah, it doesn't look like we have rookies. A lot of these people that are coming into the magazine have a lot of history and been trying to win awards and stuff like that, so looks like we're about to get some fresh blood, and I'm excited. Hopefully they last a long time, because we've been having a lot of, you know, red hoods, so to speak, that is like, oh, this is gonna be huge, oh my god, Ayashimono's incredible, oh my god, oh, they're all canceled. Quick updates for My Hero Academia. For starters, My Hero Academia will be on break next week in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 50, but will be resuming in issue number 51 as scheduled. Again, all the authors, they get their scheduled breaks now. Cool beans. We love to see it. We love to hear it. But also, I found this one to be very, very exciting. Meg the Stallion, in case you don't know who that is, very popular hip-hop artist. She is huge, honestly. She's even done, what was with BTS? She did a song that Smooth Like Butter remix. Like, she is massive, way out of here, just huge star. But she did a cosplay for Halloween of Mirko from My Hero Academia, and hands down, oh my god, the rabbit hero number 5, Mirko, jeez louise. I'm not even going to lie. She just looks incredible. Like, they got that one side-by-side of Merkel as she's, like, jumping through the air. And then you see Meg, and I'm just there like, jeez. Oh, my God. Hands down, Meg did it amazingly. Shout-outs to Meg Thee Stallion. She's killing it. Yeah, I don't know. I just had to point that out. Meg is pretty freaking awesome. Yo, Meg, it was good. Where's me interview, mate? Okay, next up, people. A major author is retiring from the manga world, and it's kind of sad to hear. I ain't gonna lie. Whenever an author finishes their series, I'm always like, hey, let's see what they come with next. But when they finish the series and then announce retirement, that's a whole different feeling, because the author of Kaguya-sama Love is War, Aka Akasaka, has announced not only that the series just wrapped up with its final chapter, but that they're going into retirement. Let's read what they had to say. For starters, again, it says author Aka Akasaka announces retirement as a manga artist, further tells that he would like to focus on creating stories and just remain as an original author. So they said, thanks to the support of many people, Kaguya-sama has been serialized for 7.5 years. Weekly serialization didn't go as planned, and there were many times that made me realize how weak I am as a manga artist. But because of that, I had a lot of happy memories, and I could look back now and wonder if I made the people around me a little happier. Thank you very much for 7.5 years. As for my future activities, Akasaka as a manga artist is thinking of retiring after this work. Even though I'm retiring, I would like to end my activities as a manga artist who draws and focus on creating stories from now on. So I would like to continue working as an original author. As for painting, I intend to continue it loosely as a hobby. So I'm not quite following what they're trying to say. So are they saying they're ending their activities as a manga artist who draws? So maybe Aka Akasaka just wants to write and not draw. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're going to come back with a new manga, but they're not going to be doing the art, which I'm all for that. I always say, honestly, especially after you have a successful run of a few years, and that's not a few years. That's, what did they say again? 7.5 years. Yeah, 7.5 years for Kaguya-sama Love is War. Once you go that, you probably should just say, all right, yo, I did my thing. I'm just going to write now. Because at that point, like, you went through the grind. You went through the hustle. And granted, the money ain't going to be the same. Like, you know, you could write whatever, but if you got to pay an artist, unless they're getting paid like a set amount that is like way less than what you're being paid or whatever, it's always going to be like a split on the IP, especially in those big magazines. I don't know exactly how that would work of, you know, a duo collaboration, an author and an artist. But either way, it sounds like Akasaka just doesn't want to draw anymore and will draw like occasionally, but really just wants to write really cool stories. And I respect that. And just in general, the fact that Kaguya-sama made it 7.5 years wrapped up, I've heard nothing but good things about it. That's really dope. So looking forward to seeing what they have next in store. Maybe they might just decide to do novels, light novels, and then eventually they get adapted into manga and anime, although it's a lot more of a grueling sounding process. Like, you gotta go light novel, then eventually a manga adaptation, then eventually an anime adaptation, if it survives all those rounds. I don't know. Writing light novels doesn't sound great, so to speak. But again, shout outs to Aka Akasaka. Looking forward to seeing what they do next, considering they're retiring, but they're really just retiring drawing, not writing. Next up, just a couple of small pieces of news for Rurouni Kenshin and Chainsaw Man. For starters, it says here, Rurouni Kenshin new TV anime will be receiving new cast members on December 18th at Jump Festa 2023, according to their scheduled preview for the show. So we will be getting some Rurouni Kenshin anime news. I know some people, they don't want to hear nothing about Rurouni Kenshin because of what happened with the author. Totally understandable. But yeah, there will be some TV anime news coming December 18th for Jump Festa. And also, Chainsaw Man, just a small tidbit here, it says they'll be receiving a special feature in Ame Talk on November 17th. This is the special manga project. Oh yeah, Shihei Lin, the editor of Chainsaw Man, was like teasing, like, we got a manga project. And I thought, are they going to do like a spinoff to Chainsaw? Oh no, it's not a spinoff. It's just that there's going to be like some featurette where I believe the cast of Chainsaw Man is going to be like on a TV show. And I think this was already pre-recorded, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, they pretty much are going to be doing something, which maybe we'll see it and maybe it'll be funny. But don't expect too much from it. More so, it's just like cool that they're really pulling out all the stops for the Chainsaw Man anime boatload parade promo event. Then, it's been forever since I've spoke about this author from this series, in case you ever heard of it. Katekyo Hitman Reborn, massive series, still waiting to see, like, yo, dog, when they're gonna come back with that, you know what I'm saying, that revival for Hitman Reborn. But apparently Akira Amano isn't too far away, because according to this, it says, Akira Amano, mangaka of Katekyo Hitman Reborn, will be the next artist to participate in the Dragon Ball Super Gallery project in next month's Psycho Jump issue number 1, 2023, in case you don't know. For the last couple years and for the next few years, to celebrate Dragon Ball's big anniversary, they've been having famous mangaka go and draw popular key points from the Dragon Ball story. So you'll get like, hey, look of, I don't know, the creator of Naruto drawing this volume of Dragon Ball, stuff like that. So they're gonna have Akira Amano, the author of Katekyo Hitman Reborn, and hey, how about you get them to draw a new series or something, or a new one shot? I mean, post Hitman Reborn, oh, I'm lying, oh my god, they are doing a series, it's just not that big. That Ron Komonohashi Detective, which I think they just announced that it has like 500,000 copies in circulation for like, I don't know, a few volumes or something like that. Really not that successful. It looks like Akira Amano, they really appreciate them as an artist and an author, but since Katekyo Hitman Reborn, they've had a bit of trouble trying to get, you know, that big hit. And it could also be that they don't want to go back in Weekly Shonen Jump, because they had another series even before that that got an anime and didn't do so well, and I checked it out, I really didn't care for it either. So could very well be that they're not having luck, and on top of that, again, trying to release it in all these quarterly things. I think initially it was released in like Jump Plus, that first series that Akira Amano had, and again, it really was, I can't even remember the name of it, I just remember it being like really goofy and just not all that. Ron Komonohashi, I wouldn't mind checking that out if it got an anime. Looks a little bit more serious, it has that classic Akira Amano art style, and in general, I could go for some new Akira Amano stuff, as long as it's not like that last series that was kind of... Okay, next up, the author of Jujutsu Kaisen has a recommendation and a few words about a manga that is pretty freaking awesome. May have heard of it, Sakamoto Days. It's in Weekly Shonen Jump. Yeah, Gege Akutami had a couple of things to say. Akutami Gege recommends Sakamoto Days in Volume 9 of the series and states that, quote-unquote, when reading the work, they become keenly aware of how poor their sword fighting is. A special illustration is also attached in the obi. And I'm imagining that's Gege's drawings of Sakamoto and, oh, I forget the dude's name, but that's really dope and also very humble of Gege Akutami to say, like, yo, dog, when I see them do certain aspects, it makes me realize how poor I am at doing that stuff. And in general, Sakamoto Days is definitely a win for a recommendation, because Sakamoto Days, from what I read, was freaking awesome. And it's cool to see just in general Jump authors, you know, helping one another to go up the ranks. So shout outs to Gege Akutami for that. Also kind of smart, because it's like anybody that doesn't care for Jujutsu Kaisen, they reading Sakamoto Days, suddenly like, oh wait, that Gege person, Jujutsu Kaisen, let me check out Jujutsu Kaisen. So very smart, if I do say so myself, especially once the anime comes out and if it has a boom and they all start reading when they go to Volume 9, it's a win. Shout outs to Gege regardless, because you're showing love at a time where, you know, Sakamoto Days isn't that big. Once it gets big, you know, now your name is a little bit tied in there, buddy. So smart stuff there. And also, we got some sales here. For starters, Sakamoto Days has reached 2.2 million copies in circulation, and again, I believe there's 9 volumes, so not the greatest sales in the world, but considering the fact of what the series is, I think that that's dope, and I think with the proper anime adaptation, it could go uphill. Again, it could stay stagnant, it could go nowhere, but I really appreciate what it does. It's a really dope story about this guy that wants to walk away from this assassin life, but can't quite get away from it, and I think, again, with the right push, it might get that big boost that every series would love to have. Then, since we're on the topic of sales, apparently Kaiju number 8 has reached 8,880,000 copies in circulation with 8 volumes. Talk about a gang of 8s. 8888. Jeez Louise. And yeah, that series, I'll never understand how it blew up like the way it did. Like, granted, the content was dope or whatever, but considering it was in Jump Plus, a digital magazine that didn't really have the biggest readership at the time that Kaiju came out a couple years ago, the fact that it sold the way it did, like, I understand to a certain degree because of word of mouth. Like, word of mouth is what got me to check it out, and I was like, this shit fire. But yeah, it's very crazy, and almost 10 million and still no anime. Once the anime comes out, We're going to be talking some different numbers, and either way, just big, big wins all around. Shout out to Sakamoto Days, Jujutsu Kaisen, and of course, Kaiju number 8. Next up, just something small for Black Clover fans. Here it says, Black Clover Volume 33, titled Final Declaration Special Extra Drawing, under the cover. Basically, it's a sketch of Asta's new design, and the release date is 11/4. So this is already out, I believe, in Japan. And yeah, it's of Asta's new design that we had for like 3 or 4 chapters before it got canned. I really hope they bring this design back, because granted, he's pretty much like in the Wano Country arc now of Black Clover, but this design right here was very, very drippy, if I do say so myself. So looking forward to seeing it, and I wish Yuki Tabata would give us more author comments in the volumes. He used to give us some really dope stories. I miss those. Yo, Yuki Tabata, we want to hear more. Give us more stories. Just saying. But shout outs to that design. And yeah, Black Clover 33 volumes deep. Final declaration. Let's go. Also, we'll get to see what the updated sales for Black Clover are looking like post time skip. I'm excited to see what that is. Then I quickly wanted to talk about, it's not anime related, but I just wanted to briefly cover it. Henry Cavill leaving The Witcher and being replaced by Liam Hemsworth. Now, shout outs to Liam. Dope. All that good stuff, but Henry Cavill leaving The Witcher and basically Geralt is going to be played by somebody else, just cancel the show, end the show. Like, pretty much, I believe he's going to return for season 3, but they greenlit a season 4, and he's not coming back for season 4. End it. Once they do stuff like that, you replace the main actor, unless you're gonna do a time skip and have him be old as shit, and then you can have somebody else come in and play the role. End it. Please do, because no, Henry Cavill is incredible. Like, he's one of the main reasons why I checked out The Witcher to begin with. Granted, season 2 is a little stagnant. I'm still stuck in season 2, if I'm just keeping it real. I watched like maybe a handful of episodes and I was like, getting a little boring. But either way, Henry Cavill is the heart of that show. You get rid of him. And as, granted, I'm sure it's because he don't want to come back no more. It's like, dog, we've been doing this for a while. He's a very big actor, Superman, etc., etc. And I'm hearing talks of it's because they're going to be bringing him back into the fold, his Superman role, something to do with the DCU. So, yeah, but yeah, just end The Witcher. End it. Flat out end it after Henry Cavill leaves, because I don't care what it is. Like, that's gonna just feel off, and I'm not gonna rock with it. And maybe it could be good, but highly doubtful. Anytime you replace the main character's actor, it's always downhill from there, boys. Okay, people, let's take a look at the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments, courtesy of Jose_K. To start it off, we got Weekly Shonen Magazine's Hiro Mashima from Eden Zero. I've done my first live fan event in about 3 years. I'm appreciative for all the energy the fans give me. Well, you know, you're always there for the fans, so they better be there for you. Then we got Kei Urana, author of Gachi Akuta. When the poop comes out from my staff, it's 3 for the price of 1. Joking aside, I'm amazed and thankful for their amazing sense of aesthetics. Why are we talking about, okay, let's move on. Kei Urana, you on some nastiness. Then we got Nakaba Suzuki, author of Seven Deadly Sins and Four Nights of the Apocalypse. I've got a bunch of tasty canned Kinoya foods from my friend in Sendai. They're even better with booze. I'm so thankful to them. Okay, Nakaba, you're gonna keep on. Like, in case people don't know, and I've been reporting on this guy's author comments for a couple of years now at the very least. On top of that, even before that, I remember reporting on an interview before for Never News when I was just doing like regular news and whatnot. And he clearly always talks about alcohol. Like, this man loves drinking, and you can have your opinions on drinking or whatever, but this guy clearly has some sort of issue with it, because he talks about it for years upon years, frequently. On top of that, this is not like, you know, just a hangout spot, this is his Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments, and even there he talks about it. So definitely gonna send best wishes and prayers to this guy, but clearly he loves drinking, there's no denying that. Then we got George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. Congrats, Yuji-kun. I wonder who the hell is Yuji-kun. Is he talking about from, like, Jujutsu Kaisen? Probably one of the authors from here, I'd imagine. Then we got Yusuke Nomura, author of Blue Lock. Another assistant left the workplace here to start a serial of their own, but I'm the one who didn't hang out with them at all, even toward the end. LOL. Okay, that's so fucked up sounding. I didn't even hang out with them before they dipped. Like, yo, okay, Yusuke Nomura, I see you. Then we got Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers. Tenajima-sensei, congrats on completing your series. It's a great honor to have been serialized at the same time as you. I believe Tenajima-sensei, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the author of Ace of Diamond. Don't quote me on that one, but either way, shout out to Tenajima-sensei, and at the same time, Ken Wakui is getting ready to end his series here in a few. And last but not least, we got Negi Hadaba, author of Ranger Reject. I've taken time off to return to my hometown for the first time in 2 years. If I'm not mistaken, I think rumor and word has circulated that Ranger Reject is actually getting an anime, so I'm looking forward to that coming to fruition, because I've been saying for like 100 years, like, yo, I'm gonna check out Ranger Reject, and I've never checked out Ranger Reject. But yeah, those are the Weekly Shonen Magazine. Let's jump over to Jump's Weekly Shonen Jump author comments. We got, starting at the top, let's take a look at Mapolo 3 from Peepa Peepa P. Thanks to Halloween, I'm addicted to candy. All the flavors are great. Thanks to Halloween, I've been sick as a motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie, ever since Halloween, I have been definitely sick. Then we got Gege Akutami, author of Jujutsu Kaisen. The date of the meeting, mixing up, negating, and annihilating for Angel's ability. So many errors. Dog, you are writing something very intricate. There's gonna be mistakes. At the very least, it ain't anything crazy ridiculous. Like, if I ain't really pointing it out, chances are it's not something extremely huge. So pat yourself on the back, Gege. You're doing great. Then we got Kohei Horikoshi, author of My Hero Academia. The Jump Manga Award account is amazing. So many resources. I wish I'd had it when I was a student. Well, you're an OG now, so it is what it is. Then we got Yoshihiro Togashi, author of Hunter x Hunter. I just want to draw the final pages. That's a very interesting translation. He wants to draw the final pages as if I just want to be done with this shit. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody that is like, what, 60 years old or some shit, like, you know, he's very old at this particular point, he probably just wants to draw the final pages and be done with it. Then we got Hajime Komoto, author of Martial Magic and Muscles. Hoshi Imo sweet potato treats are delish. Yay. Okie dokie. And let's close this one off with Yuki Tabata, author of Black Clover. My daughter was safely released from the hospital, but then I had to go in to get my wisdom teeth removed. I'm a happy but suffering dad, and I believe we covered that in last week's episode because it was, you know, released early. But shout out to Tabata, his family. We love you. We appreciate you. We're happy that your daughter's well. And yeah, what is it with all these authors that recently got their wisdom teeth removed at the same time? I believe the author of Martial Magic and Muscles just did that as well. Like, okay, it's wisdom teeth removing season. Why not? Or maybe it's because they're using the benefits from their Jump contract before their series is up. Now that I think about it, because Marshall's on his final arc, Black Clover's on his final arc, it's like, yo, let's use this dental insurance real quick before we up out of here, fam. But yeah, people, that's the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Always a treat. Okay, and let's wrap this up with the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose underscore K. And so far, we have places 50 through 41. Let's see. At number 49, Ranger Reject Volume 7 in 7 days, 15,381. I'm interested to see what this looks like once that anime comes out, because right now, 15,300 is not great at all, especially 7 days on sale. And Ranger Reject is only 7 volumes deep. I feel like it should be more. It's been out for quite some time. But yeah, those sales aren't great. Let's see what those anime sales look like, or post anime sales. Then we got number 47, a series that the art looks fantastic. I've seen so many different panels from it. Atelier of Witch Hat, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it, volume 11 in 3 days, 15,998, so almost 16,000. Not bad at all. Still could be better, but in 3 days, I'd imagine it probably would have been like 20k in a solid 7, so not too bad, to be honest with you. Then let's see, moving forward, we have at number 44, what is out? Is that like the football series? I'm not sure, but in 4 days, 17,875. I feel like I should know what that is. I'm not sure, though. And closing off at the top, we have at 42 and 41, Chainsaw Man Volume 10 and 11, both doing 18,300, 18,400. You already know right now with the Chainsaw Man anime coming through, it is going to be insane, to say the least. Then we got places 40 through 31. Again, Chainsaw Man at 40 with Volume 9, 18,475. at 38, Chainsaw Man Volume 8, 18,000. So it looks like about 18,000 roughly people went out and bought Chainsaw Man volumes. Because then jumping over another place at 36, Chainsaw Man Volume 7 with 19,000. Number 35, we got Zatch Bell 2 Volume 1, 19,000 this week. God damn, like Zatch Bell is bringing in the sales. I know this author is like just jumping for joy, like, yes, we're making money again. Because now in total, since September 16th, if I'm not mistaken, it has done 130,684 copies. And I'm sure his bank account is loving that. I ain't gonna lie. Then we got at 33, a Blue Lock Egoist Bible character book. In 7 days, 19,417. And, yo, that's a character book doing that. Like, yeah, that Blue Lock anime is making sure it does numbers. Then we got at number 31, Hikaru ga Shindanatsu Volume 2. 19,861, bringing his total in 20 days to 124. Not bad, not bad. Then we got places 30 through 21. At 29, we have a very salacious cover of Chainsaw Man Volume 6 with 19,998, almost 20,000 copies this week. Then at 28, in 7 days, the latest volume of Hiromashima, author Fairy Tail, Rave Master, and now Eden Zero, 20,028 copies. I ain't gonna lie, I wish Eden Zero was doing more. I feel like Hiromashima should be doing more. I'm not sure what the disconnect is. I don't know if it's because of the whole space aspect, or could it even just be that maybe this whole way of writing characters is coming to an end, because Eden Zero, despite the fact that it's like a space series, it falls more in line of like the previous gen and the one before that and the one before that of Shonen Battle series of, like, you know, the boy with somewhat of a dream, and it's even a lot like Fairy Tail with, you know, Rebecca by his side or whatnot. 20,000, he should be doing more, I feel. And again, I'm not sure if the disconnect is something to do with the way it's written, how it's more like, you know, the previous gen and it's not like the new stuff where everything is a little chaotic, but yeah, 20,000 ain't horrible per se, but I really wish it was doing at least like 40 or 50,000 or 100,000, considering Hiromashima is pretty much like one of the elder statesmen, so to speak, of Weekly Shonen Magazine and just in general an icon at this point with Kodansha. But maybe his next series will do better, because Eden Zero never really was a big hitter. It started off, I believe the first couple of volumes was doing like 100,000 a piece, and then it kind of just slid down as it continued. Then we got at number 27, Chainsaw Man Volume 5, 21,392. Yeah, you're going to see Chainsaw Man all over the place. You got it at 24, Volume 4, 22,000. Volume 3 at number 21 with 24,307. Like, yeah, it's going to be like this for a while. Chainsaw Man is taking over right now. Then we got places 20 through 11. Let's see, 19, Chainsaw Man Volume 2, 25,000 this week. We got Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card Arc Volume 13. Damn, it's crazy to see Cardcaptor still releasing shit. That's nuts. With 26,524 this week, total of almost 80K. Chainsaw Man Volume 1 at 15 with 27,000. Bringing his total to 1.123 million copies. Then we got number 14, Minako-chan, Volume 8. In case you never saw it, it was that horror anime, this girl that she sees like a bunch of basically like ghostly spirits. I really enjoyed what I watched. I should go back and finish it. In 3 days, almost 30K, 28,837. Not bad at all, considering it feels like a Halloween series, to be honest with you. Shoutouts to Minako. Then we got Blue Lock Episode Nagi, Volume 1. I'm imagining that's some sort of spinoff. Like, they're making sure to drop everything they can right now while the Blue Lock anime is coming through. In 7 days, 44,000, almost 45,000. Not bad at all for a spin-off series. Then we got top 10. At number 10, My Hero Academia, Volume 36, with 46,499, bringing its total to 576,280. Interesting that My Hero Academia started off the first two, almost 3 weeks, but definitely first 2 weeks, destroying Chainsaw Man in sales. But this week, it did 46,000, basically 46.5, while Chainsaw Man is now outdoing it with its latest volume, Volume 12, Chainsaw Man coming in with 57,530. It's total 381,750. So it's still quite a ways away, about what, 190 something away from surpassing it, but that is interesting to note that if Chainsaw Man keeps outdoing My Hero, it could inevitably, with its latest volume, outsell My Hero's latest volume. So I'm going to keep a close eye on that. Considering the Chainsaw Man takeover has begun, we're probably going to get every freaking week Chainsaw Man volumes all over the place, so going to be interesting to note. Then we got all the way, let's just jump straight to the top five. We got at number five, Oshinoko, volume 9. 76,882, that's a pretty big title. We got at number 3, Kaguya-sama Love is War, considering that that ended, volume 27 in 5 days, 105,516, that's a very beautiful way to send things off, dope stuff there. Then we got Blue Lock, volume 21 at number 2, in 7 days, a total of 108,637. Well, okay, so probably those were some pre-sales. Basically, almost 109 for the most part for sales. And then at number one, still Spy Family this week, bringing in a total of 121,722 copies, bringing his total to 1,150,000. Spy Family Volume 10. Yo, Spy Family has solidified itself as a major hitter and a major seller as well. Shout out to Spy Family. And yeah, people, that's the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Joe_K. Very interesting stuff, to say the least. But that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching. I'm Forneverworld, and as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule.
Anime and manga
for life, boy.
Have an awesome day. Peace, and you guys just watched another episode of
Forever News.
Have an awesome day. Subscribe and hit that bell. Yeah.
I have a dream, alone in my room as I sit with the tea. Couldn't possibly think what I often see, and you don't even know how I often blink. Lights be flashing and looking at me, such an odd unique, yet I'm so unique, and you're looking at me. If the wolves could talk, they would probably repeat, and I'd probably say, bitch, get the fuck off me.